The Burt Show.
For months now, we have been saying that, look, no politics on The Burt Show, and I think these guys have done a very good job on that.
I might have slipped once or twice.
Well, you are our fearless leader, and you gave us instructions, and we followed them. You, however, did not. Shocker.
Just a couple of times I might have slipped up. So if you're waking up this morning and you don't know, Donald Trump has pretty much won the election, and he is the president for the next 4 years. If you are up late, you might have turned it off, and you weren't quite sure, so you're turning us on. And I don't think Kamala has conceded yet, but I think Donald Trump has given his congratulations speech. I'm going to be the dude.
His acceptance speech.
His acceptance speech. So I thought this was really, really great yesterday. This is from Jordan Is My Lawyer. And she does a podcast that, believe it or not, you can get news that's not one-sided on one or the other side, right? And I think she says yesterday what I was trying to say during the show yesterday. And it's pretty much like, hey, we're going to survive this, and just remember.
Today is election day, and while I obviously don't know who the winner is going to be, what I do know is that tomorrow, roughly half of the country is going to be celebrating, while the other half of the country is going to be feeling angry, upset, and hopeless. And I know many people may not care to hear what I have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, just in case some do. So here are three reminders that I want us to keep in mind as we all navigate the next few weeks, months, and years. Number one, our country has gone through many of trying times since its founding, and it still remains united, so please don't let us be the reason that changes. Number two, if you love this country, root for whoever takes office and hope for the best. Because whether you like that person or not, you should want this country to succeed. You would never want someone that you love to fail, so please don't wish that upon the country. Give the winner a chance. And number three, now is the time to find a nonpartisan, unbiased news source. Right now, it's obviously easiest to tune into your preferred network and get that confirmation bias and have someone to either celebrate or sulk with. But trust me when I tell you that the mainstream media, and this includes your preferred network, is the reason we are so polarized. They want to divide us. So I'm not saying you have to stop listening to the mainstream media, but find a nonpartisan, unbiased news source that can keep you informed without that element of polarization.
That's not so easy to do, but they are out there, and she does a really good job at it. It's Jordan Is My Lawyer. That's where you'll find her on Instagram. All right, so the more superficial stuff here. The rules are changing, man. What's rude? What's not rude? Now saying thank you is rude in some cases.
This blew my mind, but there is like a logical component to it that kind of tracks and kind of makes sense. So I was reading a theory that you should not send thank you emails anymore at work. And I don't mean like you're interviewing for a new job, so you don't say it, send a thank you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like if I'm like, hey, Abby, can you please send me the script for your break? And then she sends it to me, you know, like for like, let's say you're putting together, I don't know, an accent theater. Can you send me the script for accent theater? And you send it to me. I should not send an email back that says thank you.
Accurate. We need to stop doing this.
Why?
Because it just muddies up my inbox and it just adds more emails that I don't need.
But that's literally why. Kristen nailed it. So like for me, it's ingrained to be like, thank you for taking your time, even though it's part of her job. Thank you for doing this for me so I can do my job. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kristen's point is exactly what this theory is. It's like, if you're getting thank you emails nonstop, now you're distracted looking at the thank you emails and marking them as unread, which seems like a very small thing, but over time they add up. So you can be one less email in someone's inbox, taking up less of their time by not hitting back with a thank you. And it just feels so opposite of what was ingrained in me. It makes me uncomfortable, but at the same time, like, it would be nice. I don't know how I feel about it, because I think I'd be offended if I never got a thank you email.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those emails, I'm like, okay, we're good. We're good. You're good. You got what you needed. Leave me alone now.
It feels weird to say that showing gratitude is rude in any way, shape, or form.
But right? It is a time suck.
So this could be one of those cases where it's impact versus intent. And I think in listening to you, I'm going to stay old school here. And sorry if I am taking on your workload. Don't feel pressure to hit me back saying thank you for the thank you.
That would normally be your welcome.
But it sounds so weird to say like, hey, you can say thank you too often.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a words of affirmation girly, so anytime I get a thanks or a thank you for any reason,
reason. It just scratches my brain the right way. So if everyone could continue to thank me for doing the thing that I'm paid to do, I'd appreciate that.
It's like for the major stuff, of course, like you want to thank somebody. Like if they did something, if they did an exceptional job, if they went above and out of their way, like obviously we continue to show gratitude and show thanks because validation is important. But if you say, hey, can you send me that and I send it to you and then you need to follow up with a thank you, I don't need that.
I feel like I don't need it, but I appreciate it. Like,
yeah.
I still appreciate the thank you, even the pre-thank you. Like sometimes somebody else asks you something and didn't say thank you before you even do it. Like I'm cool with all of the thank yous.
Then that's fine. In the original email, if you're like, hey, I need that document, please and thank you, and then you send it to him, then you don't
got to say it again.
You ain't got to say it again.
I'm with you on
that. It's done at that point.
The Burt Show. Get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Who is the father of Gypsy Rose Blanchard's baby? This is not an answer we had before yesterday. Now, if you're wondering, why do we care about Gypsy Rose Blanchard? Why do we want to know who the father of her baby is? Gypsy Rose Blanchard served about 10 years in prison because she and her boyfriend conspired to kill her mother, and then the boyfriend killed the mom because she spent years abusing her as a child, pretending that she had all these illnesses, made her get all these surgeries that she didn't need. And so she recently got out of prison, and while she was in prison, she was married to this dude named Ryan. She said that the D was fire.
I forgot about the D.
She was obsessed with Ryan. And honestly, I saw them, I was like, this is couple goals. And then like 2 months into them being out of, or 2 months into her being
out
of.
Did you just say couple goals while they were in jail?
That's exactly
Listen,
what
that's
said.
True love. He fell in love with her while he couldn't even be with her. They had to wait years to finally be together physically. And when they were, she said it was fire.
That is quintessential long distance.
Yeah, couples goals, if you don't like to live with the person that you're with or see them very often or only go and get sex. That does sound like a couple goals.
I know. Listen, it was love.
Or
we thought it was. Listen, Mo, my standards are. I don't know if there's anything lower than hell, but that's where they are.
Would you ever date a guy that currently is in jail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's he in jail for? Like, is it like a one night thing? Like, did he just get arrested for being like rowdy?
Prison. He's in prison. He's got a prison sentence like she did.
He's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, I'll find someone before then. I'm going to go now. But maybe I'll send him some letters. Maybe we'll FaceTime if he has like a smuggled phone.
By the way, we're going to get a lot of hate mail from prisoners because they're like, why are you infringing on my like pieces?
Well, I ain't scared of you until you get out of jail.
Yeah, I'm going to be real frightened. So anyway, then I can't remember if she cheated on Ryan or not, but there was some weird overlap to where she decided to get with her ex-fiance because, believe it or not, homegirl was engaged twice. I don't know how she found two men to love her, but I'm real jealous. I don't even know if they're couple goals anymore. I just think she's relationship goals. Like, she's finding all these dudes to appreciate her. Anyway, so she gets back with this guy named Ken. And because there was some weird overlap, there was a lot of speculation as to whether or not the father of her baby is actually her husband or her now boyfriend's baby. And she has finally come out and revealed who the father of the child is. Drum roll, please.
Nick Cannon.
It's her new boyfriend's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was anticlimactic. Yeah,
do we know
Nick Cannon kind of ruined it?
Sorry, I should have saved that just a couple more seconds. Do we know anything about this dude?
Yeah, I mean, they've been dating ever since she left her husband. So I think things are going well. I think they got matching tattoos together. I mean, things seem to be on the up and up, but like, you know. I want to root for them because now they're a family, and I'm very like, you know, want the family to stay together. So, Gypsy,
and that's what she had been telling people all along, right?
That
this was not my ex's baby. This is my new man's baby.
She said there's been a lot of chatter around the paternity of our baby, and while we've known for sure from the beginning, I feel like it's finally time to put these theories to rest. So, don't say that it's Ryan's baby. It's your boy Ken's.
Got it.
All right. A Taylor Swift fan, she is not okay after Taylor wore her jacket to a Chiefs game on Monday. This is so exciting. Imagine you have like your favorite team's sweatshirt or like a varsity jacket. It's for the Gators or UGA. And then all of a sudden, one of the biggest celebrities starts dating a player, and now she needs all of these outfits that their stylist has to find for them. Well, Courtney, or this woman named Court Talks on TikTok, said that she sold her Chiefs jacket that Taylor Swift's stylist bought for her to wear on Monday.
Tonight, we saw Taylor Swift in the pictures of her coming into the Chiefs game, and my mom was like, that jacket looks familiar. That looks like the one you used to have. And so I was like, did we sell that on eBay? So I checked with my dad, and he was like, yeah, isn't that the one that went out to California? And I was like, you're lying. So we checked, and it did go to California. And obviously, we would have noticed if it said, like, shipped to Taylor Swift. And I'm a longtime Swiftie. I'm talking, like, almost 20 years. But even I don't know the name of her stylist. And that is who bought the jacket. So we checked and double-checked. And not only is it the exact same jacket, but also in the pictures that we had listed on eBay, you can see a kind of a bend in it. And you can see that exact same bend in the picture of her wearing it. I can't make this up.
This would be pretty cool.
So cool.
Yes.
If Taylor Swift was ever spotted wearing like one of my ex-fraternity UF sweatshirts, like I would be elated. And for it to just happen under your nose, like you think you're just selling it to some chick out in LA, mm-hmm. but it's really Taylor frickin' Swift. I'd actually be sending them an invoice. I'd be like, I actually wanted to charge double for that.
I love that her stylist is on eBay.
Just casually looking for upcycling, having sustainable clothing practices. We love this for her. And it was a cute jacket. All right, Taylor Swift's brother had to save a fan from getting kicked out of the Eras show all because of what they were wearing. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We're talking about the Netflix show Love is Blind, but who in here was best at spotting love before it even occurred?
Yes.
Rebecca.
Season 7 of Love is Blind, the Netflix dating reality show where singles come together and date sight unseen and then sometimes get engaged and sometimes get married, but sort of rarely at this point. Was Love Blind this season? Not really. it never really is, honestly. It's like love needs contacts. Like it's visual.
Love is blind. Attraction is not.
Very that. Right. Exactly. So did you guys watch this season?
I watched about 3 episodes and it just felt like all the other Love is Blinds and I just lost interest in it.
Yeah, I gobbled it up. I love trash. Yeah.
You got me more interested about the reunion than the actual show itself.
The reunion was pretty good. I mean, do I think the reunion makes the entire season worth watching? No. I think the season itself is pretty good on its own just because so many people are just messed up.
I will be honest with you guys and say that there are shows that I will watch just for The Burt Show, knowing that we're going to be talking about it. But I gave 3 hours of my life to this show for you guys, and that was all I was going to do.
I am so proud of you for establishing boundaries.
Thank you. That was it. Uh-huh. 3 episodes of Love is Blind. That's all I'm giving you guys.
Thank you for your service. So about a month ago, I came to the table with sound bites of 4 couples speaking for the first time ever in Love is Blind season 7. I had all of you guess whether or not they would make it to the altar based only on their voices. Today, we are going to revisit those predictions. And I'm going to make you see with your eyes because I have now brought photos of the couples so you can put a face to the predictions.
And you printed them off in color. Can we afford that?
I hope so.
In this economy? Full color photos?
So rapid fire, this first couple is Alex and Tim, just tell me quickly, what do you think? Based on their appearance, did they make it?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. I watched the season, so I'm just going
to. I was going to say yes also.
Interesting. This is what you predicted.
Not for me.
I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say that they're not going to last.
Virgo Leo, not a good match.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Nope, I don't see them making it at all.
All right, I'm taking Mo's lead.
I'm taking Mo's lead on this also. Everybody's lead.
Everybody said no. And today, in the good year of our Lord 2024, they are broken up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Originally, congratulations.
Yes.
Well done.
Good job.
Yeah, go with astrology.
Absolutely.
And you can't go wrong.
So next up is Hannah and Nick, my country queen.
No, they are not.
No.
Yes.
That is a weird prom pose they got going on.
it's very promposal. Here is what you predicted originally.
No, absolutely not. They are not making
no?
it.
No.
No.
I'm going to say they're going to last.
I think they're going to last only because he broke out the music at the end there. He was playing his keyboard and everything else. Yeah, he went in, man. I'm going to say they don't make it. Too young, too dramatic.
Too young, too dramatic. Fair. Yep, exactly.
All right, three no's, one yes.
Was this the guy that was always sort of humble bragging about being an art dealer?
No, that guy didn't even make it through the pod. Like, he got to the end of the pods, and then they kicked him off the show after that because the producers didn't think their relationship was strong enough.
Okay. Is she the one that was always, like, putting him in his place and being really mean to him?
Yes. Well, putting him in his place, no. But, like, being mean to him, yes. She would just talk down to him constantly, and he would just take it. He'd be like, "You're so right, honey. Like, I'll do whatever it takes to change." And then she was mean to him on the reunion. Ugh, just so nauseous thinking about it.
So no.
Yeah,
yep. They're over.
Yeah,
everyone but Abby got it right. Serves you right for believing in love. We have cuties Taylor and Garrett. What do you think?
I say yes. Those smiles look genuine.
The picture's giving yes.
The picture is giving yes.
It really is.
And you called them cuties.
They're cutesy, right?
They are kind of cutesy. No.
All right.
Too good to be true.
Here's what you originally predicted.
Let's play the odds. They gonna make it.
They gonna make it.
They gonna make it.
Yeah. I think so too.
They gonna make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna say no.
Nope.
I'm gonna say yes.
Everyone but Kristen said yes, and I can now share Taylor and Garrett are married.
Whoa! Really? No kidding.
Love is real.
Wow, at least for the next couple of months. Yeah, that's great.
And finally, one of the most polarizing couples of the entire season.
No.
You don't even need to see the pictures.
Brittany and Leo, the king and queen of vocal fry. What do you think?
King and queen. Oh, yeah.
She does have that voice, man.
By looking at the picture, she's leaning ever so slightly away from him. Yeah. So I'm saying no.
Yeah, I'm with Kristen on this one. No.
Her voice really was annoying. If they made it, he will get sick of it in another 6 weeks. I will say no.
Katie, the original predictions?
Yeah, no, that's not going to last.
Yeah, it's not going to last.
Yeah, they're not making it.
I don't think they'll make it at the end of the day.
Well, in a shocking upset, Brittany and Leo are not together.
Ah! Yeah.
Bert and Mo had 20/20 vision in love.
Yeah, that's what we do, man.
I mean, you know. It's a gift.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Men see the facts, women see with emotions. This was just business.
It's just logic. You know
okay,
I mean?
It's just logic.
All it is.
All right.
The Bert Show.
You guys, I hate to do this to you this early in the morning while we're still trying to get a chemistry for the show. Sometimes you have to face it head on. We lost our second fair fish.
Shut up.
Now there is one.
Oh, man.
First one we had when we went to the North Georgia State Fair. Tried to make it a bold escape, a Shawshank. a Shawshank Redemption-like mistake is he tried jumping out of the tank and got caught in the filter system. It was tragic for the other two fish.
He dug through a tunnel of feces.
Took control of his life.
Which is true. We need a better filter.
Yeah.
The second one saw this go down. Tried to regroup, but emotionally couldn't handle it. Yesterday, it was actually sad to watch this goldfish as he kind of aimlessly floated around the fish tank, knowing that the end was near. I went in there this morning. There was only one left.
Okay.
Damn.
Should we name this one in the hopes that giving it a name will give it a reason to live?
Sure. I mean, at this point, it's desperate time, so we should try anything. Although Jackson did make the promise he was going to get him some friends today.
That's what I was thinking.
And I made the promise to get some new decorations and foliage in there so it feels like a real fish tank.
Or maybe he's an introvert fish and he had something to do with the other two's demise.
So if that's the case, we are naming him Mo.
Hey, Mo Fish.
Who would certainly kill off roommates to be alone.
I'm going to go holler at him today and see how he's giving it up.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Yeah. Maybe this fish wanted it. Maybe he's living his best life now. He don't look real happy in there. But do goldfish look happy ever?
Yes.
Do they?
I remember were mine looking happy.
Okay.
Not mine.
It just kind of looked like.
I think they know, like, they're on the clock right from the start. Like, this is not going to be a long life.
Hey, not smart enough to know that.
Those fair fish. He had it good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're down to one.
Okay.
Okay. Can we regroup, try to do the rest of the show, or should I have saved that for the end of the show?
No, I think you've pretty much ruined it, and you should give us the rest of the day off.
Yeah, I bet you need
it. I agree.
I'm pretty much over it. All right, let's go.
Okay.
All right, so Clueless Dudes.
All right, so this is definitely a bless your heart moment for these guys. No harm, no foul. But as I was in the parking lot of my son's preschool changing his clothes, I really wondered if these four young men, probably in their early 20s, if I had to guess, really didn't have that much common sense. Because it seemed obvious to me, but again, I'm a woman in her 40s that has a child, so maybe my obvious is not their obvious.
So you're going to allow the cluelessness of these two guys to represent an entire generation of dudes?
Absolutely. It's what everybody does.
Happens every day.
Generalizations, obviously.
100%. So my son is in a preschool. He's in the most adorable 3-year-old class, and they go from 9 to 1 Monday through Friday. However, we have opted to sign him up for some after school activities, just trying to expand his horizons and see what he likes, what he gravitates to. So Tuesday after school, he has Spanish with his former teachers, Miss Olga and Miss Luisa, who are amazing. Wednesday after school, he's got golf. And then Thursday after school, he's got art. So this was Wednesday. And it was 2:00 and I'm pulling up to the activity center to pick up Jimmy from his little golf lesson, mm-hmm. right? And I think he likes it primarily because the boys give the kids dum-dums after their golf lesson. They're very excited about the suckers. But no, he really is. He's enjoying it. And Jimmy is a very, like, happy-go-lucky kid. He is, his default is happy. He's always smiling. Like, he is good time Jimmy, right? He's got a big laugh like his mama. You know where he is.
He's what a 4-year-old should be experiencing. Joy.
3. Don't make him older 3, than he already is. You've already taken away, like, 6 summers. Don't take away more of my time with him. So I go to pick him up, and I'm walking down, and I come up, and I'm like, who are you here? And I'm like, Jimmy! And they're like, Jimmy! And then Jimmy comes out. And they're like, hey, he had an accident, but he didn't let that stop him. He just kept on playing. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, we're potty trained, but accidents still happen.
Numero uno or dos here?
Numero uno.
Okay.
Accidents still happen. He's got trouble with aiming. And
don't we all?
Yeah, there's a lot of adult men. Based on what I see in that bathroom, there's a lot of men that have the same problem.
That doesn't change.
He's got trouble with aiming. And also, when he's excited and when he's having fun, he doesn't want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
And I know the pee-pee dance. I know when he's grabbing himself. And he's like bouncing back and forth that he's got to go to the potty. So maybe, you know, these cues, these young men don't know to look out for those cues. But when they said he had an accident, my kid was soaked.
Oh, really? So like through the pants?
Oh, yeah. Because I picked him up and I'm like, what is that? And
what did you sit in?
So, I mean, he like full, like it wasn't like a dribble. It wasn't like a little like. It was like a full-on accident. But the guys, he's like, yeah, we had an accident, but he didn't let that stop him. He just kept on playing. And in his backpack is an extra pair of pants and an extra pair of underwear.
Mm-hmm.
That is mandatory that you have those items in the backpack.
Sure.
And I was just like, at no point in time did it cross your mind to check the backpack yep. and see if there was anything in there to change him into. So there I was in the parking lot of the preschool because I wasn't putting him in his car seat because sure. I wasn't going to get the car seat soaked in urine. And I'm like, buddy, you got to take his shoes off. You got to take his pants off. You got to take his underwear off. And then you got to put this other outfit on him. And I was just like, and I didn't get like, listen, no harm, no foul. I didn't go in on him. I didn't go like mom Karen mm-hmm, on him. But the next time I go back to pick him up, I'm going to just give him like, hey guys, by the way, heads up. If Jimmy has another accident, he's got an extra pair of drawers in his backpack that you can pull out.
I don't know these guys personally. but I am going to make some assumptions here, and let's see if Mo backs me up on this, because this is about guys in general.
Again, young, they're kind of like frat-looking guys. Yep. They got the collared shirts and the khakis, because, you know, they're teaching golf to 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I do not think that they are that clueless.
No?
No. I think they made a decision not to change Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what happened. They probably knew, like, their instinct was go check the backpack to see if there's anything in there. But they made, at some point or another, they made the decision, too much work. I'm not going in there. I'm not doing that.
I do agree with you. I also wonder if it was more of, like, a guy thing to where they would just feel uncomfortable changing him if they didn't get permission to.
No, they know because he's had an accident before. And it was a number two, so they have changed him.
Oh, okay. So
They know. So that is pertinent information. There was an accident before, and it was a number two, and that underwear got. They told me, they's like, yeah, that there was no saving that, and I was like, okay, that's, and I was like, I am so sorry. Thank you so much for doing that. So they've done it before.
I am guessing, again, based on nothing at all, these two guys knew exactly what happened and may have even...
Four
of them. May have even broke off into like a discussion group like, are we going to change him or not? And they came up with no.
Because
they lazy? Because they lazy. All right, they had another golf lesson. Okay. They didn't want to deal with urine on their hands. They were probably doing who's going to change him, who's not, and they all just decided, you know what? Mom's going to be here soon.
Yep.
So they're not clueless, just lazy.
Okay.
I mind me a little bit both.
They changed them before, though, I would imagine. And that's the wrong sport. Like, golf, you got to change them. Football, you just let them play.
Right. I go to pick them up, and they're like, hey, so he had a little accident, but, you know, it happens to everybody, but it didn't stop him.
Like, it happens to everyone.
He's like, it happened to me last week. I kept playing.
So, yeah, let's give them a little credit. They are not clueless. They are just lazy.
I'm giving no credit to no one in that instance. Sorry, not sorry.
The Burt Show.
Lose Burt's money coming up here in just a couple of minutes on The Burt Show. I got $100 every time you get an answer wrong. We take 10 bucks right off the top. We'll play in just a second. I have always believed, like, Amazon truck, UPS, FedEx is like the adult ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah.
You're so excited. You see it coming down the street, pulls up into your driveway, like, yeah, I wonder what flavor's in there.
And funnily enough, our UPS truck driver, because you know you get the same person for your neighborhood most of the time. He plays the best old school 90s hip hop music.
Oh, he
does.
I like that.
He does.
Well, the art of that and the fun of that might be going away. I was reading this morning, Amazon Prime Air has just launched in Phoenix. Okay, we've heard about this and they've tested it. Now it's actually launching in Phoenix. If your package is under 5 pounds, chances are really good now. It is going to start being delivered by drone.
Wow.
That crazy, man? Technology. So you're just sitting there on your patio or something. Zzz, package just comes flying out of the sky.
I feel like that's going to cause problems.
I mean, FAA, there are all sorts of regulations where they can only fly so high or so low. So they're going to have to do a lot of I know you guys get really scared of this kind of technology. Yes. It fascinates and excites me.
As somebody with misophonia, which is like legit, you have like this really visceral reaction to like noises and repetitive noises. When we were in San Diego, just stay with me here, and we were at the Seaside Cliffs, there was somebody with a drone that was taking video and pictures or whatnot. And that noise from a drone is so like disturbing and annoying. And I know in our neighborhood, Amazon truck is coming by every day, multiple times a day. So I'd rather hear a truck drive down the road than the
really. It is intrusive, like when you're on a beach or whatever, and you know someone's taking pictures of you, but this is different than that.
Is it, though? Uh-huh. Those drones are going to be equipped with cameras, and while I'm, like, sunbathing naked in my backyard, I don't need some mofo at Amazon being, like, looking at the goods as the goods get delivered. But I do guarantee you there'll be a lawsuit off this easily, because you own the airspace above your house for 75 feet.
Plus people, you do?
Uh-huh.
People are already stealing packages. We'll make people think that they're not going to try to steal them drones.
They will.
They're going to try to steal them drones.
That's true. We're going to see people running, trying to catch drones, tackling drones left and right.
All right, it is a round of lose, burst, money. This is the game I don't want you to win. It's my money. I got $100 right. I'm already giving you $1,000 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Go to Q997Atlanta.com to get that. That's plenty of money, okay? And now you want to take another $100? So what are the rules here, Kristen?
The rules of engagement are we have three people on the line. Today we have Tammy, today we have Catherine, and today we have Steph. You have an impossible trivia question you're going to ask them. Tammy's going to start for $100. You're going to ask her the question. If she gets it, the three of them split the pot. If not...
No, they don't.
Oh, they don't?
No, she gets the $100.
Oh, she gets 100?
Uh-huh.
Well, why are you asking me what the frickin' rules are?
Because we played it 10 times, and you just explained it this way for the first time.
All right, fine. You get it right, you get the cash. But if Tammy gets it wrong, we take $10 off the pot, and it goes on and on and on until we end up with $0 because literally nobody has won Bert's money yet.
That's why I like it so much.
I know. Your business manager does, too. Shout out to Amy.
Hey, Tammy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Charleston.
Okay, well, we appreciate you listening very much on 95SX. Hold on 1 second here. You are going to be competing against Catherine, or maybe I should say working together. Hey, Catherine, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, where are you calling us from?
From Somerville.
Okay, a lot of Charleston. Oh, okay. And Steph, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling us from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Okay. All right, here we go, you guys. I'm going to give you one superficial trivia question. We're going to go in that order, like Kristen said, Tammy, Catherine, and Steph. I'll give you one trivia question. If you get it right off the bat, Tammy, you get $100. I'll be very, very upset. If you get it wrong, we just subtract $10, and we keep going until there's nothing left, and I'm real happy, okay?
Okay.
All right, Tammy, here it is. A poll of 1,000 men asked what one thing they would like to say to a woman, but don't dare. This is the top answer. For $100, what is it?
What's that smell?
Hey, what's that what? Smell? What's that smell is a great answer. Not the one we're looking for, so thank you for guessing incorrectly. Now we go down to, I am dying to know what you just wrote to Cassie on that.
Wait, can I see? Oh.
All right, we are going down to $90, Catherine. And same question, a poll of 1,000 men asked what one thing they'd like to say to a woman, but don't dare. This was the top answer.
Need to lose some weight.
You need to lose some weight. Whew. Not the correct answer.
All right, we're to 80 for Steph.
Hey, Steph. Okay, what do you got?
Are you really
going to
eat that?
Oh. Are you really?
Whoa. Steph, I hate to say this, but that sounded like you've heard that before.
Nope.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
It's something I'd never want to hear.
Uh-huh, right.
Very good answer. Super good answer, because I don't have to give you that kind of money right now, because you got it wrong. All right, let's go back up.
Back to Tammy for 70.
What you got, Tammy? Poll 1,000 men. Ask one thing they would love to say to a woman, but they don't dare. This was the top answer.
Again, focus. They would love to say to a woman.
Something they would love to say to a woman.
Mm. But they don't.
I don't really like you.
I don't really like you. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
But I don't really like you.
I don't really like you. That is not the number one answer. I bet it's in the top 20, but it is not the number one answer.
All right, Catherine, for $60.
You look older than you tell me you are.
You look older than you tell me you are. Thankfully, you got that wrong, so that saves me another $10.
Steph, for $50.
Are you pregnant?
Don't dare to ask. That is not the correct answer.
Tammy for $40.
$40? 1,000 men asked what one thing they'd like to say to a woman, but they don't dare. They are too scared. This was the top answer.
Want to do a threesome?
That's a good one.
These are some great answers.
That's a really great. That should be number one, but sadly it is not.
All right, Catherine, for $30. You guys are on fire with the responses.
By the way, your guys' answers are way better than the actual answer. Who are you at, Catherine?
Catherine for 30.
Sorry, I don't. You're just not my type.
You're just not my type. That is not the correct answer.
Steph, for $20.
Oh, I like this way this is going. I'm not giving anybody anything.
Goodness.
What you got?
I feel like at this point the answer is nothing because they say anything they want to say.
We know better.
Yeah, we don't.
We know.
Trust me.
Are you actually going to wear that?
Are you actually going to wear that?
Another good answer.
It is.
It is a great answer. No, that is not the answer.
All right. Final guess, Tammy, for a whopping 10 buckaroos.
Can I just have the money?
Can I just have money? That's a good answer also. Thankfully, you didn't get it right, so I don't got to give anybody anything. And like I said, your guys' answer was way better than the actual answer, which is a poll of 1,000 men asked what one thing they'd like to say to a woman, but they don't dare. And the top answer was, you wear too much makeup.
Oh.
Okay.
Dang it. Thank you guys for playing, and thank you for not winning, you guys. We appreciate it.
Get it. The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
A video is going viral of Taylor Swift's brother, Austin, preventing a fan from getting kicked out of her concert on Sunday. This is back in Indianapolis. So this fan was dressed up as a Kansas City Chiefs player, probably as Travis, wearing full-on football gear. I mean, typically when you see girls go to the Eras Tour, they're wearing glitter in sequins and anything sparkly and shiny and something to kind of have a nod to one of Taylor Swift's eras. But some people recently have been dressing up as like Chiefs players or whatever, particularly like boyfriends that have been dragged to the Eras Tour. So this girl is dressed up as a Chiefs player, full on helmet, got the jersey on, and starts walking towards where the VIP tent is. And actually Travis was at the VIP tent that night because, you know, he likes to support his lady. So a security guard obviously sees this fan walking towards the VIP tent wearing this helmet, something I don't think you're allowed to do at the actual event. And the security guard puts his hands on the girl and pushes her back and says, we're not going to do that. So then Taylor Swift's brother, Austin, comes up and is like, okay, that's a little aggressive. You need to stop. And basically prevents her from getting kicked out of the stadium. Now, here's my thing. I was watching the video because I'm like, oh, yeah, go Austin, like saving a Swiftie from getting kicked out. Like, that's so rude of that security guard. I kind of feel for the security guard in this moment because I'm thinking you're a security guard in Indianapolis. You don't deal with like super high profile people in the way that like Travis and Taylor are high profile. And then all of a sudden you see this rando wearing a helmet and you don't really know what they're thinking or what they're feeling. They could come ramming at you. They could headbutt you with that helmet. And then all of a sudden, your head is on a spike because you couldn't do your job right.
And I didn't realize how like dangerous the helmets were until Mikey did that challenge with the Atlanta Rage. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, when we tackle you, we aren't going to wear our helmets because we're afraid that'll hurt you too much.
Wow. It's funny you mention that because my dad is security for Russell Wilson and Sierra. And he talks to that all the time. Like you don't know how far you can go. And there's a lot of times when he'll do something and Sierra will have to grab him and go, all right, that was a bit much. And he's like, but if I didn't do that, we would be having a whole different conversation. So it's tough for security of high profile celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, because you'd rather err on the side of caution of like, okay, I'm being very proactive with doing my job. Whereas if I let this person get a little bit too close and sure, 9 times out of 10, they're probably not going to do anything. Like it was a girl who's probably my size approaching them. But at the same time, like, What if she is kind of crazy? What if she's had a little too many spiked Topo Chicos and she just goes headbutting straight for the VIP tent? So I really feel for him, but also a nice thing that Austin, Taylor Swift's brother, was thinking, you know, let's not get her kicked out of this event. All right, Pharrell Williams recently did an interview with BBC Radio 1, and he was asked about the worst voice he has ever worked with. And he said that he did work with a voice that reminded him of Mickey Mouse.
I will say that probably the worst voice I've ever worked with was my own.
No,
seriously. I'm going to prove it to you right now. Okay?
All right.
This is something that you'll never believe, okay? 700 million tires? Watch this.
Okay, here we go.
When I sing in falsetto, I've only said this like one time out loud. Just think about fun or like beautiful. Mm-hmm. I hear Mickey Mouse.
He doesn't like the sound of his voice when he does a falsetto. He's like, I sound like Mickey Mouse. So do I think it's a cop-out? Yeah, but also, like, I mean, think about it. You got to be professional. Like, if you say, oh, yeah, the worst voice I've ever worked with is, you know, Mariah Carey or whoever, then that's a bridge that you're burning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have called. I wouldn't called anybody out to the carpet either. But I also wouldn't have said my own voice.
So what is the right answer?
I might have. I hate listening back to the show because I hate the sound of my voice all these years later. Hate it.
I'm with him. I think it is a cop-out answer. I'm not going front on that. But I also think it could be true, like, because I'm the same way. I absolutely hate hearing my own voice.
Now, if they would have done that, I'd be like, I see what you guys are doing. You're not using me for clickbait. I'm not going to call somebody out because I know it'll turn into a huge story, and I just don't want that heat.
That's
that
good media.
A better answer.
Good media training right there.
It's good media training. Exactly. But to be fair, his answer is way more interesting than that because now we've learned something about him rather than him just being, like, deflective and defensive, and that's, like, kind of not fun for a radio interview. But he also did. He also was talking to them on Radio 2. I guess there's a difference between BBC Radio 1 and BBC Radio 2. This is like the JV team. And he was talking about how he was fired from McDonald's three different times. He said, McDonald's was my first and only job. I got fired three times. I was eating the chicken nuggets. He said the first two times, it was just because I was lazy. And the third was like, what are you doing? You're just sitting there eating nuggets. So thank God he got fired and went to the music industry anyway.
I worked at McDonald's for a year and was trying to get fired. They wouldn't fire me for anything. I wanted it to happen.
Could you eat the fries and eat the nuggets and stuff while you're in the back?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I was like normal. Everybody did that.
Right. They wanted him out for another reason.
Yeah.
They didn't like the sound of his voice.
All right. Wicked fans were not happy when Ariana Grande was announced as one of the leads, and she is finally responding to the criticism. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Get it. The Burt Show.